Welcome to The Parish, a community of ordinary people walking together in the way of Jesus. The messages are just one part of the Sunday morning experience, and we hope you join us for worship and the rhythm experience soon. We meet at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Good day to The Parish family. My name is Latoya Smith, and I'm so excited to be with you here today and to share with you what Jesus is teaching me in this season of life. But before we get started, I have to say a big shout out and a thank you to Pastors Nicole, Jamie, Jordan, and Ryan, who I call my brother from another mother, the leaders, the staff, and congregants of the parish. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today and to share with you. I am coming all the way to you from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, where I get the opportunity of sharing life with my wonderful husband, Peter Smith, of 25 years, our beautiful daughters, Aria, Gabrielle, and Addison, who I sometimes honestly call teenagers, but we are working through that. And then our four-legged daughter, Indigo. And we're so thankful to be here with you. Before we jump into the word, let's jump into a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. You say, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for the word that is about to come forward and your Holy Spirit that will just be poured upon us, Father, as you move to the forefront and I move to the back. We just thank you, Lord, that our hearts, our minds, and our ears are open to hear and receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When preparing for this message, Jesus immediately brought to mind my mental health journey. More specifically, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, and depression. And to boot, 5 out of 5 of the members in my home have a diagnosed mental illness. But we thought that this is imperative that we share our experience with you because it may touch and it may help not only you, but someone you know or someone that you would come in contact with. And if I had to put a title on the teaching for today, is My Mental Health Matters. Mental illness is something I have. It's not who I am. I am a child of the King, and I know that even on my deepest and darkest days, that I am a child of the King. You may ask yourself, what does mental health have to do with my walk as a Christian? Why should I think about it? Why is it important? I say it has everything to do with who we are, our very being. In fact, in Matthew 22:37, we are called to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. Everything that we are, everything that we consist of. I wanted to share with you some lessons that I've learned along the way on my mental health journey. But most importantly, what I wanted to let you know and wanted to ensure that you know is that God loves and values people with or without mental illness. He loves you as you are and who you are right now. Just a quick disclaimer, I am not a counselor, I am not a psychiatrist, I am not a psychologist, I am not a medical doctor, and I'm not a veterinarian. In fact, there is no MD that follows my name in any way, shape, or form. I'm just a sister in Christ that wants to share my experience with you and hope that it will help you or someone in your life. Mental illness is defined as health conditions involving changes in emotion, thinking, or behavior, and it could be caused by a family history, it may be hereditary, it may be a chemical imbalance, it may be experiences that you've been through in life, stress, trauma, or anything of that nature, maybe a traumatic brain injury or exposure in the womb to viruses or toxic chemicals. My first experience or encounter with mental illness was with my Uncle Sandy. We grew up in a small town in Southeast Georgia called Midway, Georgia. It's about half an hour from Savannah, about 3 hours south of Atlanta. Our family was large. My grandparents had 13 children. So can you imagine the offspring, the cousins and the uncles and the great aunts and the great uncles that came from that? So anytime we got together, basically it was just a party all the time. They mostly specialized in farming, logging, masonry work, and construction. But with my Uncle Sandy, I really never saw him going out doing those things. If anything, what I saw him do was walking around the house or around the yard or the property of our family, incessantly talking to himself all the time, kind of saying strange things like, I'm a millionaire, I have all this money, I can do all these things, I'm gonna go build a mansion, or he would be chasing after us or having an argument with my grandmother for no particular reason. But as a child, you don't know what's going on. You just say, well, Uncle Sandy's a little crazy. Something's a little wrong with him, because no one ever told us. All they just said was, hey, don't bother Uncle Sandy. Just leave him alone. But you know, as kids, and between the ages of probably 5 to 8 years old, we were just like, okay, this is funny. Let's just make Uncle Sandy angry, not realizing that he was really struggling with mental illness, and we just didn't understand what was happening. He died some years later due to complications dealing with his diabetes. Growing up, I was taught the importance of a relationship with God, how important that was, how important it was to lean and trust in God and everything that was happening in my life. Also, in terms of work ethic, that we make no excuses, we complain about nothing. If you see something's wrong, fix it. Do something about it. Even more of outwork everyone around you. But some of the examples we saw in terms of dealing with things happening around us, showing us the blocking out things, was ignoring Uncle Sandy's mental illness and not sharing that with the rest of the family so we could do our best to kind of help him through that process. Although this was well-intended advice, it really taught me later on in life to kind of shove down my feelings. It's just like, hey, you know what? You may be going through something, but you just got to shove it down. You got to deal with it and get past it. Or eventually it will go away or it's disappear. And we know that's not realistic and that's not really what happens in life. But shortly after graduating high school, I joined the best service ever. It's called the Air Force. I got an opportunity to travel and deploy around the world and live in locations like South Korea, the Middle East, North Dakota, Colorado, Virginia, and now DC. We met some great people along the way. I met my husband while I was in the military, and we had 3 beautiful babies together. But we also met people that changed our lives, that helped us walk with Christ, Pastor Ryan being one of those, to deepen our relationship and to deepen our walk and to just take it to another level. Just last year, I retired from the Air Force after 28 years and 2 months of service. Yes! Retired, not expired, I am. My last assignment was at the Pentagon, where I was responsible for the submission and defense of the Air Force multi-billion dollar budget to Congress. Can you imagine the workload that goes with that? But in the timeline leading up to me submitting my application for retirement, I was a little hesitant. The military really takes care of us. They make sure we get paid on the 1st and 15th of the month. They give us money to buy groceries. They give us money to either buy or rent somewhere to live with our family. They really take care of us. And I was so used to that lifestyle, but so used to the people I was around, helping and encouraging people, walking with people. But in the midst of all that, I neglected myself and I neglected self-care, and I poured myself more into people instead of pouring into myself. And that's why I ended up being diagnosed with those things, because I wasn't taking the proper self-care that I needed to and identifying when those issues were coming up or making sure that I was fully present for my family. God told me, it's like, it is time to retire. And I heeded his word because it was what was best for me and my walk, best for the kingdom of God, best for me personally and for my family. And I don't regret it one bit. I think of oftentimes people think that, oh, mental illness or mental health issues just came up recently, probably in the past couple of decades, and we're just dealing with it now. But if we peel open and we open up the Bible, we can see a number of instances. I even look to Psalms 23. It's a familiar passage. It's the shepherd's prayer, right? So we all know the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we start backing up a little to verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, and David is talking about this, we also see it called the valley of the shadow of death, right? the deep, dark place when we're walking through the darkness, that this didn't just happen where we're going through challenges and we're going through issues in life. The word talks about how we would all experience trials and tribulations while we're here on earth, but faint not that God is with us and he is walking with us. But now I want to share with you some of the lessons I learned along my journey, and hopefully they'll be able to help you or someone you're close to or someone that you will come in contact with. The first of them being, you are not alone, that God is always with us. It says 26% of Americans ages 18 and older, about 1 in 4 adults, suffers from a diagnosable mental disorder in a given year. That's not counting undiagnosed people in any way, shape, form, or manner, which we know is a lot larger than that. But also we have to understand, the Lord says in his words, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, he tells us he has a plan for our life. So that's not a God that says he wants us to be alone. It's an enemy that wants us to be alone, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And his whole battle plan is to isolate you, right? And so if he gets you away, you start pulling back as you feel any shame associated with a diagnosis or anything that you're going through, then you just to yourself. And so then he can plant in your mind those negative things that run contrary to the word of God. God also says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That he has the victory already. You don't have to walk this alone. You don't have to just stew in it. You have people that are right next to you that want to walk with you in it. And some things that I've done to make sure that I know I'm not alone is to grab hold of people that are positive around me, that would encourage me, not people that would deter me and say, I don't want to be involved with you, I don't want to talk to you, but people that are planted in the word that can encourage me with the word. So that's something I can point myself back to. So if you see someone that normally is an outgoing person, or even a person that normally communicates in conversation, reach out to them. I say, if you see something, say something. If something's out of whack or not normal, say something to that person. You don't have to smack them around with WebMD and say, hey, I looked on the internet and I found like all these things are symptoms that you're going through this particular mental illness. No. What you can do is just say, hey, sister such and such, brother such and such, or whatever their name is, I just wanted to check on you because I'm concerned about you. Is everything okay? Is there anything I could do to help? You just don't understand how much that pays and how much that would be a gift to someone that may be challenged with a mental illness. And knowing that I'm not alone, that I also had to make sure that I sought out help. And understanding that seeking help is not a sign of weakness, it's an actual strength. And how I knew I needed help and how it started to show up was having panic attacks at work, my brain constantly running all the time where I could not sleep. I was dealing with many to-do lists. It's like, okay, I got to take care of this at work. Okay, are we ready to talk to Congress? Okay, did this person take care of this? Okay, do the kids have an appointment? Okay, did I make an appointment for myself? Hey, when's the last time I saw the doctor for this? And that my mind was running so fast that I couldn't keep up with it. And oftentimes, my body would just almost shut down, like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't catch my breath. I just had to stop and have a quiet moment. And I knew something about that was off, that something wasn't right, and I needed help beyond what I could provide for myself. Although I was praying and God's word was encouraging me, I know I needed that plus more. So approach it with a 3-pronged process, right? So I ensure that I did daily devotional. And so sometimes we're like, oh man, I don't have time in the morning, I can't get to daily devotional. And so what I did for myself in the morning, I was like, okay, here's the challenge. Before I turn on my phone, before I look at social media, before I turn on the television, before I interact, I have to at least read one scripture or say one scripture. And that keeps me in line. And the second thing is I identified anchor scriptures. And why I call them anchor scriptures are they're scriptures. When I think about a boat, you know, a cruise boat lays down its anchor. It's in the ground. It's there. That boat is not going anywhere. It's not moving. It's going to take some mighty force to move it. And I know it's planted in solid ground. And that's what the word of God is for us, right? It's planted in fertile soil. It's never changing. It won't move. It doesn't change with trends, fashion trends, what's going on Instagram or Twitter. It's always solid, always something I can go back to, that the words are not going to change in the Bible. And for me, that's to two scriptures. It's Jeremiah 29 and 11, knowing that God has a plan for me. And then Philippians 4:13, and understanding I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. And I repeat those things to myself when I'm going through hard times. It's like, Lord, I know you got a plan. Whatever this negative talk is around me, I know that your plan is much better than what's happening for me. And I know it's ever changing. And I know this promise is for me or anyone else. Forgiveness is my third lesson in my journey that was a part of my healing process and a continued part of it. The Bible talks about forgiving people 70 times seven. And for some people with dealing with mental illness, some of it could have been aggravated by someone, right? And so they may have caused you stress. They may have been part of a PTSD episode or a traumatic event, or even your parents, if something happened to you in utero or in your childhood that may have caused this mental illness, or your mental illness might not have been dealt with in the proper way to help you get the help that you need. But also forgiving yourself sometimes, right? For decisions that we make, we blame ourselves for so many things, but we also have to learn how to forgive ourselves. And sometimes even as parents, like my daughter was diagnosed with disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. So it's more than oppositional defiance saying, no, I won't do anything. It's more than being a teenager. It's like a whole episode that may result in violence or saying words that are just disrespectful, unkind. And sometimes as a parent, it's hard to hear those things when your child may be saying to you, you are no help to me. Your help is trash. It doesn't mean anything to you and what you're trying to help them through. So it really hurts, but you have to forgive, because in our unforgiveness, we can't get to where God wants us to be, right? Because then we start to filter everything, not only how we treat that person, how we treat other people. So we want to make sure our heart is open and that we don't harvest and hold on to unforgiveness, because most of the time the person doesn't even remember what they did. They have moved on with their life, but then you're stuck in it. So we want to make sure we release that. Amen. Then also something I have to remember is viewing every assignment as an assignment from God. In the military, so they tell us where to go, where to be, and you know, we're like, no, I don't want to go in there. Like, we don't care what you say, you're going anyway, right? And so we started to look at it from the viewpoint of, you know what, these are assignments from God. And so when we're going to these places, we're going to ask God, what should we be doing at that particular point in time? Are we there for one person? Are we there for a family? Are we there for our family to regroup and get on one page? So I challenge you, you may not be going to another country or another state. You may be moving somewhere in your work center. You may be taking care of an aging parent. You may be an at-home parent. Whatever you may be doing, an entrepreneur or business, ask God what he would have you to do there in that season. Would it be to help build relationships? Would it help to shine your light, to bring joy? I think about opportunities I had in the Pentagon. It could be a pretty daunting place because the pace is so fast all the time. We're moving because things have to happen. I remember going in and we're working the budget and I'm trying to encourage the team, like, hey, let's go. And they're like, ma'am, we're so tired. We need you to pray. I'm like, okay, come to my desk. They were like, no, I need you to pray right now here in the middle of this work center. So it did my heart so happy because God was able to shine in that moment, and you can have the same impact in your workplace. Next is addressing conflict, right? So instead of popping off at people and going off and say, hey, you did this and I'm going to address it right now, sometimes we need to just step back and take a breather and consult with God. In his word, he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you, in 1 Peter 5:7. So how we deal with it is a three-pronged process in our family with everything, right? So we pray about the right timing to approach the person in the situation. The second thing we do is pray for the words that God would have us to say. And then we pray that the person is ready to receive what God has to say for us, say to them. And it works every time. Try it out. Lastly, and first and foremost, seek help. Talk to someone immediately. Today is your day. If you were afraid before, this is the time to step out. There are people willing to help you, to love on you, to encourage you, whether it's a pastor in the church or someone there, or they can refer you to an outside source. Talk to someone. Let them be there for you. Let them help you walk through it. And make sure when you're seeking out a counselor, that person aligns with your mores and your values and what you're trying to accomplish in counseling. But talk to someone about it. God loves you. He wants you to see you complete and whole. He values you and he loves you just as you are. Thank you so much for your time today. I pray that God blesses you and that your mental health journey is awesome wherever you may be in life. God bless. Love you so much. And thanks again for this opportunity.
We appreciate you listening online to our talks from previous weeks. For more information about our church or to see where we are currently meeting, please visit our website at www.theparish.us.